Good evening, everyone. Thank you for your patience and tolerance. This is W2TGT. Are there any stations for the are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Here we go. Please call K2BAR. That's a good answer. Very good answer. All right, everybody. This is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. This net is organized for the purpose of having a conversation. Conversation about amateur radio, electronics, computers, the science and technology, our hobby of the underlying principles of the science, if you will, and also all of our experiences, things we've done, things we aspire to do, maybe even to do again, and of course things we want to make sure we never do again. So, you know, there's lots to be covered here. You can pretty much talk about anything you want if you frame it right. Forgive me for being a little late to start the net tonight, but we had a little issue with our doggy, our big doggy. He decided to hide in the basement due to the storm and made a mess of himself, so that had to be dealt with. Alrighty, so we check into the net a little differently than most nets. You check in with your call sign, your name, and indicate whether you have a question, comment, sale prop, or wanted item, some combination of those things, or none of the above. We will do this check in an orderly way, and we will do it by call sign group. And we also have the opportunity to check in via Echo Link, via the K2FJ Echo Link, K2FJ-L. And so you're welcome to use that as well. I will be on Echo Link momentarily to look for call signs there. We'll do a separate check in for those nice folks. So let's see. I don't know how many stations we're going to get tonight given the weather. I'm on a an external antenna right now. I wasn't earlier, but I'll take my chances with the net. We'll go from there. So with no further ado, oh, one other thing. Why would you want to check in if you have nothing to add? And the answer is we need to know who's there so that we can welcome you onto the net and possibly even tailor the net to someone of your interest and experience, etc. So it's very important. So, with no further ado, let's go to check in. Station's call signs beginning with Whiskey. Please call K2BAR.
This is W2JEK dot nothing to report.
This is W2NPR Hector. Believe it or not, I have two questions. One technical, one computer related.
Awesome. Any other Whiskey?
This is Whiskey 2 Juliet Charlie. I have a swap and shop offer and information.
Okay, so you have something for sale and you also have a general information for a general comment. Okay, very good, Jim. Any other Whiskeys?
WI2LYP, just lurking tonight, Gordon.
Billy P., good evening. Who doubled with Bill just come back?
This is Whiskey 2 Juliet Echo Kilo, Rubber Dustin, good copy.
Yeah, Don, you're good. Okay, are there any other Whiskeys?
WE2R Charlie, just listening.
Evening, Charles. All right. Any other Whiskeys?
Whiskey Apple 2, Sierra Victor Mike, just listening. Handles Dave.
Okay, very good, Dave. Whiskey Apple 2, Sierra Victor Mike. What are your intentions for tonight?
No intentions, just listening.
Roger that. Okay, any other Whiskeys? Alrighty, very good. How about the Kilo 2s? Alrighty.
Any kilos, any other kilos?
KB2TRW, Kai, good evening, none of the above.
Evening, Kai, any other kilos?
KB2W, Ryan, I'm a new hand, Jeff with me.
Okay, I got, is it Ryan or Brian? And is it, I got KD2 and ending, I missed the suffix, so if you just give me your suffix phonetically, I'd appreciate it. And welcome to Ham Radio.
KD2DUW, Brian, I'm a new hand, just listening.
Okay, KD2 Delta Uniform Whiskey. And it's Ryan, as in Romeo, Yankee, Alpha, November?
It's Ryan, and it's Kilo, Delta, 2, Golf, Uniform, Whiskey.
Okay, it's Brian, okay. Are you an I, Brian, or a Y, Brian? Pardon me for not getting this quite right.
Brian. I, Brian.
Okay, very good, Brian. Well, welcome aboard. Kai, you must be a very happy daddy.
Yeah, pretty happy.
Oh, that's awesome. I got a text message from my third son earlier tonight from, he was in Washington Township at a friend's house, and one of his friend's neighbors had a, was parked in his driveway, and the license plate said K2 Zulu Oscar. So I know where my son Jeremy is, or was anyway. So that's pretty funny. So very nice. Very, very nice. Congratulations. All three of our sons have ham licenses, and my wife has a general, actually. Had one for close to 30 years at this point. I know she's QCWA and Old Timers Club if she wants to be. It's amazing. Alrighty, any other kilos?
KD2BFJ, Paul, no questions on top of it.
KD2 Echo Mike Golf, is it Paul?
Echo from Front Door.
Sometimes the audio is just a little low. Okay, I gotcha. KD2 Echo Foxtrot Julieta, sorry Paul. Welcome aboard. All right, any other kilos? Whoever just checked in, we'll come back to you in a minute, but boy, you're really weak. You were just mostly noise. See if you can either up your power or change your position if you're on an HD or something. Meantime, are there any other kilos?
KD2CWW, Chris. Just listening, and welcome to the hobby, Brian.
Welcome aboard, Chris, and that's very thoughtful of you. Any other kilos? Alrighty, how about the Novembers?
Listen if I have them.
My station just came in, go ahead.
Kilo, Bob, just listening.
N2 Zulu Zulu Kilo, hey Bob. Yeah, wow, you're a little scratchy, but I got you that time. Welcome aboard. Any other Novembers? Okay, how about Alphas?
No, Paul. I got an announcement, sir.
Alright, Paul, no problem. I have an announcement. I'll put you at the toward the beginning. AC2T, I got you. Who else is in the Alpha group? Okay, are there any other stations, any call sign wishing to check in before we check the echo link?
WA2QBC.
WA2QBC. Hello, Bruce. And what's your intention tonight?
No traffic.
Roger that. Anybody else before we go to echo link? Okay, are there any stations on Echo Link? Please call K2BAR.
K2UND, vacationing here in Cape Cod with a quick observation slash comment.
Connected K2ZC. Connected WA2QBC.
Hey, Jim, I gotcha. And Dave, what are your intentions? K2ZC, K2BAR. I did not get any audio on that time. All right, so let's go right to, real quick, since he's on echo link, WA2UMP, what's your, what are observations so far from the Cape? You're well south of the storm for now.
Yeah, hi Gordon, no problems with the weather yet. Anyway, some interesting things happened when the band opened up yesterday, or early in the week actually. The repeater that I use here is in the town of Dennis, and it has the same frequency as this repeater. And when it when the band opened up, I was able to talk with somebody in Brooklyn, because this repeater in Dennis overpowered the Alpine repeater. And also coincidentally, when I got on the night afterwards and talked on Echolink, I talked with a gentleman from Cape Cod, had his beam toward the Alpine repeater, and the band was open enough for that for him to get through. Third coincidence was he said this happens often enough so that he knew you. It was K1WT from the Cape. Anyway, quick but interesting observation, back to you.
Connected W2LCN.
I just noticed Rick was on. Very good. I'm trying not to log into the Echo Link myself because I think we're going to need the ports tonight. But very good. Very nice, Jim. That's very good. And yes, I know K1WT. He's a frequent flyer on this repeater at odd hours of the morning, mostly. Alrighty. Very neat. Real quick, since he's in here, W2LCN, greetings from New Jersey. How's everything in Orlando? K2BAR. Or not. Okay. Oh, well, maybe I will check into Echo and can prod people. In the meantime, AC2T, let me get your you squared away. What was your announcement, Paul? K2BAR.
2BAR, AC2T. Well, here in Westchester, we have a dedicated team of VEs, and we give VE tests every Saturday at 12 o'clock. All summer long, every Saturday at 12 o'clock. You can make an appointment by emailing ka2fel@live.com, and the phone number is 914-907-6548. No, that's the wrong number. 907-6482. 914-907-6482. Is that a QSL?
QSL, got that. Alrighty. Very, very nice. Anybody else need that number repeated? Alright. Paul, could I just ask you to repeat that number one more time? 914 again?
914-907-6482.
And those are Saturday AM test sessions or afternoon?
Saturday, 12 p.m. In the noon, lunchtime.
Okay, and they're given what do you call it, Yonkers. Very good. All right, I'll add that to the notes. Speaking of which, we have an email list with, actually it's a Yahoo group that supports this net called Comtech Group, that's one word, Charlie Oscar Mike, Tango Echo, Charlie Hotel, Golf Romeo Oscar Uniform Papa, all smushed together, Comtech Group. And you are welcome to join that group just by either shooting me an email at W2TPT at AWRL.net, or simply finding the list on Yahoo Groups and putting in a membership request. It is a closed group to reduce spam. So, and you'll find the rosters to the net and things like that. The other thing is, within a few weeks after the net, you'll find that amateurradio.tv, amateurradio.tangovictor, will have the list of check-ins and also the audio of the net itself. So it's pretty good. So if you want to hear an old net, you certainly can do that. Alrighty. Anything else from you, Paul, or anybody else have anything for Paul?
That's just been sworn, not notice that notify everybody. It's by appointment only, so you'd have to email or call that number, and we'll get you the directions on how to get there and all that stuff. But back to you. We're there every Saturday at 12 noon. We have a dedicated group of VEs that are willing to do it every Saturday.
Right, and that's KA2FBL's cell phone number, right?
Sure, and that's his email number, so if you email him, you'll also get to him.
Roger that. Okie doke. Anybody else have anything for Paul? Alrighty, before we move on, I want to go back to WATUMP as I kind of abruptly switch gears there. Jim, did you want to add anything else?
No, Gordon. I just wanted to share the observation and coincidences. I thought it was kind of noteworthy. I got a kick out of it anyway. But that's about it.
W2TPT disconnected.
Yeah, I dropped off. I didn't want to hog a port because I think that the port limit is either 5 or 6 on the Echo Link. All right, very good. W2LCN, Rick, did you want to contribute anything tonight? And how's everything in Disney, K2BAR?
WA2QBC disconnected.
All righty, how about K2ZC? Brady, let's go to W2JC, your comment first, and then your for sale thingy.
Double.
Someone said double?
BJC. It's unfortunately a sad comment because got word today that Whiskey 1 Alpha Uniform passed away, which for me was a bit of a shock because I didn't think he was ill or anything. Seemed to be perking along, but he's no longer with us. Since we're announcing testing, I'll mention the Fairlawn Club has testing one Saturday a month, and that information can be found on their website at FL for Fairlawn, ARC.net. And the Swamp and Chop thing is, I figured I'd mention, I've got a bunch of different kinds of mercury-wedded relays, which have been sitting around for a long time, and I'm probably not going to use them. They're very sensitive, and they're sealed. They're hermetically sealed in glass, so the mercury is not dangerous unless you tear them apart and smash them. And the mercury provides a no bounce on the contact, because as soon as the contacts get close enough together, the mercury jumps and makes a absolutely no bounce. If anybody's interested in them, they can get a hold of me, or...
Roger, Jim. What was the call sign of the station you said passed away?
W1AU, Whiskey 1 Alpha Uniform.
Okay, because I thought I heard you say W1 Alpha Whiskey, and I went, that's probably a Freudian slip, but okay. Very good. I'm sorry to hear that. That's really a shame, because he was a bright guy and had a lot of energy. And a very accomplished individual, if you actually dug into things a little bit. I'm just kind of curious if if anybody had any thoughts or recollections of Bill before we before we let that go. And also, do you happen to have any arrangements?
Yes, I do. Stand by. Apparently, he was in the hospital when he passed at 9:20 this morning. The funeral was on Saturday at 11 a.m. at St. Nicholas Orthodox Church in Wyckoff. It's on Grandview Avenue, and they're going to bury it at George Washington Cemetery. But Saturday at 11 a.m. in Wyckoff, or...
It's Bill Fullam, F-U-L-L-A-M, just for those who don't know. Alrighty, I got that. St. Nicholas, 11 o'clock, Grandview Avenue in Wyckoff. Is there any wake?
It wasn't mentioned in the email I got from his wife. Well, I didn't get it from his wife, I got it from W2HC.
Roger. Okay, well, the reason I'm asking is because my, a lot of people, or most people have a wake. I'll bet both of my parents requested no wake, so I guess they had been through enough of them being of Irish extraction that they just didn't want to do that. Alrighty, just FYI, the hurricane, which is now a Category 2 hurricane, is the eye is still well south of Cape Hatteras, so it's going to be a while before we see this thing. It might be lucky to have it to stay offshore and be done with it. Jim may see it in about 24 to 36 hours, but that's about it. Alrighty. Anybody have any recollections for Bill or need to fill on any of the information?
This is for Jason.
Mr. Don, go right ahead.
So, about our meetings, and I know he told me it was a VE. I never did any of my test sessions, but I know he had all volunteered for it. Over.
Right. I knew he was a VE. I suspect in the last year he's not been well because he started to cut back on his activities significantly.
Connected W2LCN. Connected W2LCN.
All right, very good. Let's get a hold of Rick while he's back. W2LCN, what's your pleasure? How's everything in Disney, K2BAR? Okay, well, I don't know what's going on there, but all right. Very good. Jim, what's your for sale or swap or whatever it is you want to do there?
Oh, I mentioned the mercury-wetted relays.
I'm sorry, I kind of got distracted by the W2BU issue. Sorry about that. Yep, you certainly did. A thousand pardons, or W1AU, I'm sorry. Alright, very good. Next one, Hector. Two questions. That's awesome. K2BAR.
Hey, K2BAR, W2NPR. Good evening, everybody. Hope everybody is staying cool and dry. I have my police scanner running and for my town and a couple of the surrounding towns. Water in a basement, car is stuck, so it just dispatched the rescue truck to go pull somebody, possibly two cars, out of foot of water. I don't see why they can't drive through it, but anyway. My first question, is there anyone who has a schematic diagram for an ASDEN, yes, an ASDEN, Papa Charlie Sierra 7300 Hotel? That is a 440 megahertz monoband FM mobile transceiver. That radio does have a little bit of a problem. I have to get my frequency counter to narrow it down, but I have a sneaky suspicion I'm going to have to open up the case and perform some surgery on a component or three. So, that's question number one. Back to you. K2BAR, W2NPR.
All right, let's see if anyone knows what it is and has the answer to your question.
W2LGN, timeout.
Okay, so plan B, what's the model number again?
It is a Papa Charlie Sierra 7300 Hotel.
Okay, and it's an Asden. All right, so, and you need some sort of service manual or the like for it?
Yeah. I opened it up just to take a peek inside, and I said, oh boy, I'd better search around for a schematic for this. I got this radio at a ham fest many buffalo ago, and it's always been perched here, but it has a transmit problem, and the problem that it's having is it seems that the stability crystal or circuit or something in the radio, as it gets warm, I sway from frequency quite a bit. I tried getting onto the 444.1 repeater earlier, even at full output power, and I couldn't get to it. Nearby repeaters are not a problem. Even on simplex, after about 3 or 4 minutes, I sound like I am half, if not a full KC off frequency. So I just want to see what I'm up against before I start poking around in there. I'd like to have a guide.
Yeah, you know, I'm having trouble even finding a lot of references to it. I'm finding references to its predecessor, I mean its successor, and that's a 1990, I mean, I'm finding a 9600, which, you know, is, you know, literally the, it was the 9600D was the one with the voice data option for packet. And that was a 1995 radio. 7300, if I remember, was older yet, so it's an interesting problem. I'm even looking at rig picks. Oh, you know what? I did find something else here. Hold on. I just looked around. I found the 7000, not the 7300. A backlight fix. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Yeah, I'm not saying much on at all on this thing. Boy, oh boy. I take it you've done the usual Google searches?
Yes, sirree. I've gone on to RigPix. I've poked around on Google, Bing, and Yahoo, and I'm not finding much. At least not for this one. I think the 7000 series of this radio, it went, I think 7000, it was 7100, 72, 73, and I think it's 7400. I don't remember what that was. Oh, that's right. These radios, they made FM only, of course, for 10 meters, 6 meters, 2 meters, 220, and 440. Those are the five models in the 7000 series. And even for those, I couldn't find anything. So, oh well. Well, if I can't find anything, then I will venture carefully. And, well, if I end up blowing it up, I'll just, I'll find another radio to buy. I've had this radio, gosh, probably since 1996, maybe, 97. And,
I ran at Mobile for probably 6 months before I bought an ICOM 3230H and had that in the car for a number of years. And this 7300 just sat here in the shack. So it'd be nice to get it going again and revive it, but worst case scenario, it has served me well, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. That's pretty crazy. Yeah, I'm looking at the radio. God knows I've seen a few of these, and you're right. They were sort of like the earlier version of the Olinco DR, you know, X35 series, where you had radios from 10 meters up to 440. I'm trying to remember, did they have a 1200 in the PCS 7000 series?
I don't think so. I think for, you know, it's possible. I'd have to go online and look, but, or it could have been a 900 meg. Something is telling me there was a 7400H. That's either 900 or 1.2 gig.
Yeah. Interesting challenge. I'm not seeing any service manuals for that series radio. Oh, actually, I found a 7500. That's 6 meters, though. I'm sorry, I'm just drawing a blank. Anybody else?
72JC, I haven't found anything except descriptions yet either. It appears that ASDEN is only doing audio stuff now from their current website.
Oh yeah, I thought I knew. They got out of the ham market about best part of 10 years ago. And it really is a different company. I don't even think it's the same owners or anything like that. It's really just a totally different game. Alrighty, so let's try something really novel here. Hector, how about another a question?
Okay. My second question is a computer question, primarily an operating system. How are those who are running Windows 7, either professional or ultimate, how do you find that operating system as compared to Windows XP Professional?
Well, assuming you have the drivers, I have found it to be a lot more stable. And in all honesty, I didn't have a whole lot of stability problems with Windows XP Pro Service Pack 3, which was the last, you know, top-of-the-line version.
Yeah, my Shack PC and my laptop are, I still have them on XP Pro. My work PC was recently upgraded to Windows 7 Professional, and I may be a victim of, a creature of habits, but there are things in Windows 7 that I don't like, and it is a bit more cumbersome when it comes to third-party applications and executable files, and it needs this, it needs that, or it needs these driver files, or these INI files. It's a pain in the neck all around. So, I've been on the fence about changing over just so I have something to tinker with here, and just to keep up with the changes. But I'm a little reluctant to change because XP, it is solid as a rock. And, who knows? If I don't have to change, then, I'll just leave it alone. I know Windows stopped with the support for XP, which is fine, because there's really not much that can go wrong with it. So, leave your antivirus current
run Service Pack 3 on it, and in essence, it'll run forever.
I don't know about that, but okay. I actually found that, there are a couple of things about Windows 7 you have to think about. One is that because it's a new operating system, you're always going to have that initial first time you touch a driver or a module problem. So that's going to be there for a while. I mean, you've had Windows XP in one form or another for over a decade. So you've kind of outgrown that need, number one. Number two, the real thing to consider besides drivers and, you know, the first time thing is you may want to just tailor your user environment to be more familiar to you by basically bringing up you know, by bringing up the options that kind of put it in legacy operating mode. And that helps a lot with that thing. And all I can say is thank you, lucky stars, you're not running Windows 8 by force. That's a whole nother game. So the sooner you get to Windows 7, the better. I still think that there's some operating system holes in XP that, you know, over time, you know, have been and will be continue to be exposed. So you'd be better off with Windows 7. Anyway, I'm going to refer this to W2JC for his thoughts on the subject.
I was afraid you'd do that. Well, I've got one system running 7. It's what I'm browsing around on now. And I've had no trouble with it, really. I put it as much as I could back to the old-style formatting. I turned off all the shadow stuff and the transparent stuff and all that garbage. And I made it look as much as I could like Vista or the previous version. But as far as operating it, I really haven't had a problem. They all freeze up once in a while, but I think that's more to do with the applications I'm running than it is with the operating system. Earth?
Okay, anybody else have some thoughts?
Wait, can you see with a comment?
Drew Bruce.
I've got Win 7 Home Pro on a machine. I've converted it as much as humanly possible in old style. I've even gotten a replacement for the start bar. I find the GUI on W7 to be maddening. It just drives me nuts. They also hid and moved or eliminated a lot of programs I use, because a lot of my focus is on the IP networking side. So W7 wound up being a pain in the neck for me, and of course I got to go hunt down drivers and everything else. So same comments as everybody else. It's a long learning curve to get used to it. And most of the tweaks that you might want to do are well documented. Just do a Google search on the internet.
Good advice all around. Anybody else?
Why? Brad, with one comment.
KD2TNY, I guess you're checking in. Welcome aboard, Brad. And, yeah, your comments would be welcome.
I was actually on time, but my power wasn't. I'm actually running off a generator right now. We have no power here in Riverdale. Let me go as quick as possible, because I get this question asked a lot. You know, at work, we are phasing out XP 7, and we can't run 8 yet. But my impression of 7 is it's slick. It's like Windows 2000, but with all the support for the newer drivers. I find that Windows 7 usually does a much better job of drivers than Windows XP. Windows 7 also supports solid-state hard drives. Windows XP, you have to force a solid-state hard drive down its throat as far as, you know, proper function, trim, and all that other things. And I also make Windows 7 look very much like Windows 2000, Windows XP-ish, more like Windows 2000. And I find it runs very slick, it's stable. I have computers running for months at a time, running servers with it. And I'm currently running Windows 8.1 on a computer. As long as you go ahead and make it look like Windows 7 without the whole tablet touchscreen feel, it's like Windows 7, but even better support for newer drivers and also supports multi-core processors a lot better. and newer features of DirectX 11 if you're into video games.
Well, not into video games, but that's interesting. Though. So you really found that the virtual machine stuff works better, huh?
Not necessarily virtual machine, but I usually find that with Windows 7 and Windows 8, I have a lot less issue with drivers, except for devices that were made early 2000s that were vintage XP, you know, like I have a scanner I can't use and some other things, but I usually find that it's quicker to pick up stuff. I don't usually have to find the drivers for it, but the biggest thing is solid-state hard drives. I don't know how many of you guys have or do not have them, but you go from a minute of boot time to like 10 seconds of boot time, transferring files a lot better. Amazingly quick shutdown, and just even browsing, because you can put your browsing cache on it or put it in RAM. The whole computer runs so much smoother, and you spend less time waiting for the computer and doing what you want to do with it. Windows XP doesn't really support solid-state hard drives. It doesn't, actually, you know, out of the factory. You have to force it with a lot of setup and a lot of time wasted to do it, where Windows 7 and Windows 8 accept solid-state drives and work much better with them out of the box.
Interesting. We're going to come back to that with some clarification requests. But let's finish this other subject first. So, anybody else have any thoughts about Windows 7, Windows 8 versus XP? Okay, so, did that answer your question, Mr. Hector?
Matter of fact, yes. There were a lot of different lights shed on the subject, and that's very informative information. So, will help me decide, well, it'll make my decision a little easier now, hearing from a couple other guys who have actually both 7 and 8.1. I was turned off with 8 or 8.1, whichever it was, when I saw that it was a little touchscreen. I said, oh, there is no way I could get used to that. You know, that's a bit much. To have a 24, 27, 30-inch screen, whatever it is, and have to clean it every 15 minutes because it's smudged with the handprints and dragging your finger across the screen, no thanks. But yes, questions have been answered. Thank you all, and we will be here listening. KTBAR, W2MCR.
I'll tell you a quick story, then I'm going to go back to the solid-state disk drive setup issue with Brad and company. I know of a friend of mine who's got like a 31-inch monitor, and he slaves it to a touchscreen that's like on a tablet kind of computer. You know, basically it's one of those machines where you can have multiple functions. Instead of having two displays, he basically has a keyboard, he has a touchscreen, and he has his big-ass display that he never touches. And that's how he makes do. And he really likes that approach to things. So, there's, you know, if you throw enough technology into an environment, you get comfortable with it and actually maybe even benefit from it. Very cool stuff. So, Brad, KD2GNY, welcome to you to Ham Radio as well. And we wanted to, I'm going to give you a couple of scenarios. I had a couple of small Atom processors that were coincidentally provisioned with some solid-state disk drives that were originally running either XP Pro or with Windows 7. Some also were upgraded from XP Pro to Windows 7. I never saw an issue with the disk drive, but what is it I should be looking for that I may have cheated myself out of given my initial state of using XP or even possibly just going directly to Windows 7?
All right, one of the first things that you should consider with Windows XP is it doesn't support trim. What trim does is it lets like a solid-state drive know what you know, what blocks of data are no longer, in use and can be wiped internally. So you wind up, like, losing space that you don't expect to lose. So you wind up with a lot of holes, in the drive. And you're not supposed to really defrag a solid-state drive, so you wind up writing and reading excessive amounts, and that's just where, it's one of those wear and tear type items for a solid-state drive. So TRIM is not natively supported by Windows XP. The other thing is, once you get that working for optimum there, you really need to go in and you need to disable disk defrag. You need to enable, like write disk caching. You need to disable hard drive optimization, anything that calls extra writes and reads to it. And Windows XP really doesn't have a good handle on SATA either. It will support it with the right drivers, but natively it was never developed around SATA. So in conclusion, it really winds up being TRIM isn't supported. You can hack it. I don't want to say hack it in there, but you can get it in there. Disabling features that would cause excessive reads and writes to it, and disabling things like the disk defrag, which is one of those things, and write caching for the drive.
All right, so natively there is TRIM. I guess that's one of the accessory tools. Then disk defrag, you disable that. You disable write caching. And anything else? And what have you optimized the SATA, and is there anything else?
KD2 GMY. No, actually, you enable, I think, write caching. Your best bet is to, like, go online and do, like, a solid-state hard drive, Windows XP support, and I bet you could probably find 5 to 10 people's write-ups, usually covering the same topics, but, whether it be YouTube or just a web page, on how to step through from either transferring an image or creating a new image from a, brand new hard drive. If you're forced to run Windows XP for whatever your application is that doesn't support Windows 7 or Windows 8, or you just don't own Windows 7 or Windows 8, but you want the speed of a solid-state hard drive, just go online and do Windows XP solid-state, hard drive setup, and you'll see unlimited amount of people covering basically what I covered, step by step by step, and you can take the average of all the web pages and figure out what steps you need to perform for your particular hardware.
Okay, well, at this point I have no XP machines with SSDs, so if I've upgraded my operating system, or if I did initial install of Windows 7, should things by default be in good shape, or do I need to go hack around in device drivers and or wherever else?
You're saying if you started out with Windows 7 on a solid-state drive?
Yeah, I've got two cases. One or more, which started out as a Windows 7 machine. The other started out as an XP machine and was upgraded to Windows 7.
In both cases, if you were to, back up that image and transfer it to a solid-state drive, and both were running Windows 7, it should recognize that you've got a solid-state hard drive, and on top of that, most drives, for example, would take Samsung, and their 840 series, which is a very popular series. They come with a Samsung Magician, which actually goes in and makes sure that all your operating system settings are correct for running and operating with a solid-state drive, and are optimized for the drive, so you don't even have to do the work. The application will do it for you, and actually that's one of the brands that I would suggest if anybody's looking to go to solid-state drive. I've had nothing but great luck with the Samsungs, and the application that comes with them called Magician, which they do, and it's like one-stop shopping for optimizing, upgrading the firmware on the drive, and validating that your OS is configured properly for the drive.
Yeah, you know what, it's been over a year since I did that, but in some cases two. So I have both 830 series and 840 series drives. So yeah, okay, that's good to know. Any thoughts about what happens when you're running this stuff under Linux? So I've got a couple of machines that are running Ubuntu. Do they know about the SSDs and how to properly configure them?
Gordon, I really can't answer your question. I'm not a big Linux guy. I do have one machine running it, but it's an older machine and it's running a spinny drive. I'm sure that could be an easy web search, and I'm sure because people that run Linux and open source Linux, they're out there trying to put in the newest, fanciest things they can do and stay current with technology, and weekly releases that I'm sure some version of Linux supports solid-state hard drives, if not most of the popular ones like Red Hat, Ubuntu. I can't remember the third of the big three, but I wouldn't doubt they do support it, and I'm sure that's probably an easy Google search.
Roger. Okay, very good. Well, that's a good thing. So everybody who's got SSDs is going to immediately go running around and try to straighten things out. I've got a number of machines here that definitely need to get some attention. I'll start with the Windows machines and go from there. I've got a one, two that I'm looking at. I got four machines here. Two are either 2.5 or 2.7 gig Atom processors with one or two SSDs on them running Windows. And then I have another Atom processor running Ubuntu. And then I have, I think, an i5 machine running Ubuntu. Again, all with SSDs. So, although they're running different versions of Ubuntu for whatever reason. One, I think, is running the server version. One's running the user happy interface version. But effectively, both are being used as, should we say, low-power servers. The latter two for work, and the former two are work machines that I can do with it what I like. In fact, are going to be turned into some interesting toys over the next couple of months as an integrated station. But anyway, very good. Anybody else want to pile in with further questions or comments?
W2APP.
Hey, welcome, Paul. W2APP.
Take the air or W2APP? Yeah, solid state. The best times and the worst of times. As always, back up your data. Go with old style, because when those solid states go, they are like instantaneous and there is no recovery. You know, it's not like a normal hard disk. You can sort of pull it up. If the percussive test or reset doesn't work, then worst comes to the worst. You can always send it off, pull the platters and get a rebuild. Solid state, you don't get it. I've been doing a lot of work with flash storage these days. The failure rates on them are stunning. Like one vendor, the failure rate's up to like 50%. Now they're doing lots of nice things on the back end to sort of compensate for that, where you're just basically plotting out the bad drive. But for smaller systems, if you're just running one solid state drive, back that thing up, back it regular. Don't leave anything on it that you cannot afford to lose. With that, I'll send it back to KTVR.
Good advice. That's very good advice. And, it's not a bad idea to get yourself like a 3T drive or even if it's a spinny drive and, just back up whole images of your, of your SSDs, a copyable, bootable image and go from there. That's good advice. We have backups of everything here. The two Ubuntu machines I mentioned, the little micro Atom processor and the other one, which is kind of a high-end i5, were designed for a field study that we did a year or two ago, and it was really delightful because we wanted to run the thing, or run them both, essentially no matter what, for long periods of time, even if we lost power. So the ATX power supplies that would normally be, a big hunk of pot metal steel and, a bunch of switching power supply gizmos inside, ended up being replaced by an SSD based system that had an ATX module that actually looked for 12 volts as the input. So all of these machines I described run on 12 volts directly, and we actually have run them on solar power probably for about 20 months now, and they sip power. I'll just leave it at that. It's really a pleasure. It really, really is. And I have a rather deep battery bank for it.
I monitor the in and out of it all, and it works fine. I don't think they've been rebooted in about a year. We've actually been very lucky that way. Actually, maybe they have been rebooted about 6 months ago because we did an upgrade on the relational database we had. But other than that, it was all good. By the way, I only use Samsung drives here, which does to Brad's point is the probably the Cadillac of SSD drive quality. Anybody else?
K2ZC disconnected.
Alrighty. Anybody else have any comments at all? It's going to take me a little while to get the email out on the contact group. Again, if anyone wants to join the contact group on Yahoo Groups, it's w2ttt@awrl or att.net. And if you are, or you can go to the contact group, Yahoo group, and say, you know, make me a member, please, please, please. And we're happy to do that. And again, the logs are stored, I mean, the recordings are come out on amateurradio.tv every so often. There's one other thing I want to point out we've been playing with a little bit last couple of weeks. It's called Zello. I mean, it's nothing new. Some of people have seen Zello for quite a long time. You might find that to be a useful tool. But several of us have been using it as an intercom during the week. When we have no radio handy, we have a question. And you can. What's nice about it is that you can actually leave a voice message to somebody if they validate it to you, et cetera. And they can also replay it. You can also replay messages people have sent left for you. We also have, a couple of channels, and one is called Comtech Group, COMTECHGROUP. And so if you connect to Comtech Group and leave a comment, then whoever's a member of that group can replay that message later. It's sort of like a hoot and holler line, if you know what that is from the old, you go to the auto parts places and you wanted to get something. Very much like a hoot and holler. But there is no radio license required for that, the only people who will be approved for contact group will be licensed hams. They may not have an ID that's their ham license, but we'll know that they're hams. We prefer if you created an account on Zello, they're free, that has your call sign either as your ID or part of your ID. Like Dave Hubble, who's well known under the D-Star and Mesh Networking, he's N2KTO Dave Hubble, or David Space Hubble. Me, I'm just W2TTT, although I also have another alternate ego called NJ2BS, which I use as well. But Noel N2OEL is there, and Rich WBWBQ is there as well. So there's a couple other people. I think W2IP has an ID, but he hasn't acknowledged anybody in a while. But it's all good, and it's another way during the week to exchange information if you want, just to drop a note to somebody, a voice message, or even get them in real time. So anyway, this is W2TTTK2BR. Anybody else? Alrighty. Well, thank you very much, everyone. Have a blessed July 4th and a safe one. Remember why it is we celebrate it, and we as amateur radio operators need to be prepared should there be an emergency. So please charge your batteries, make sure your generators are good, all that good stuff. Make sure you got a little fuel for your generators so you can at least run it for a day. without too much trouble. Last but not least, today in 1836, or tomorrow in 1836, was the change in the policy of the U.S. Patent Office to by order of